I titled this evening's sermon, The Devil's Delusion. The Devil's Delusion. And I borrowed that title from a book by Dr. David Berlinski in the Scientific Pretensions of Atheism. But that book was about evolution. I'm going to be talking in a more broad sense. I recommend that book, but that is not what this talk is going to be about. And you think about delusion. What is delusion? What does it mean to be deluded? I say, you're deluded, or you're deluding yourself. What does that mean? And it's deceit, but it's more than deceit. You can deceive somebody without deluding them. For example, you can deceive somebody with a good intent. Deceive somebody with a good intention. You come up to me after this lesson and say, you did a wonderful job. Maybe that's not true, but you wanted me to feel good. Maybe you didn't want to tell me. You were stumbling all over yourself and I didn't understand what you were saying. So I'm going to tell you that you did a good job. You know, you do that to children all the time. Maybe you do that to the husband, to the wife. You look good, so on and so forth. That's not delusion. What is delusion? I'm deceiving you, but with a purpose in mind, in order to play you. You are a pawn on my chessboard. I want to use you to my advantage. I am going to delude you. I'm going to make you play out my game. And that's what the devil does to us. And one of the key things, if you don't remember anything else from this talk, and I'm going to try to make it shorter than the last one, but if you don't remember anything else, remember that the question is not, are people deluded? The question is, am I deluded? Am I deluded? It's very easy to say, well, everybody else is deluded. Look at those Catholics, they're deluded. Look at those Baptists, they're deluded. Look at all those Muslims, they're deluded. What about me? No, absolutely not. Impossible. Impossible. It reminds me of that famous meme where, you know, you've got a crowd of people, and the question is posed, who believes that the media deludes people? All hands go up. Every single hand goes up. Of course the media delude these poor, stupid people. And then the question is, who believes they're deluded? There are no hands up. So you see, those two things can't be true. I believe everybody else is deluded, but I am not. I'm above that. That's for the common people. That's not for me. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What are we up against here? Is it impossible for me to be deluded? Is that something I should take off the table as no chance of that happening? That's a dangerous thing to think. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Think about it. If you were the devil, what would you want someone to think? No danger. There's no danger. Everything's good. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Going back to Jeremiah 6, where that is quoted, peace, peace, where there is no peace. They've healed my people with a superficial healing. It's like going to the doctor. You need immediate care to treat that cancer. And the doctor says, you're fine. Get out of here. Now, what's the result of that? The cancer continues, you don't get the treatment you needed, and you die. That's what the devil wants. Don't look into it. Everything's good. Peace, peace. Now those other people, that's a different question. Those other people, yes, they're mere mortals, but you. But what am I doing, verse 12, but what am I doing? I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting, for such men are false apostles. There were false apostles. Why did Paul continually have to defend his apostleship? Well, one, because he was a persecutor of the church, and it was after the fact, and he didn't go with Jesus for his whole life, but okay, that's valid. Second of all, there were false apostles. Okay, and he says it himself. There are false apostles. And what are they? Deceitful workers. disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder. That's no wonder. Don't think that that's a marvelous thing. Don't think that that's something that's surprising. Why would you be surprised by that? Don't you know? Don't you know? No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. I am an ambassador of God. An angel of light, a messenger of light. A couple weeks back, I had the lesson taught of God, but it could have easily been called Jesus is the light of the world. Well, that's what Satan also says he is. I am going to enlighten you. I'm going to give you more knowledge, some secret knowledge, some knowledge that the Bible can't, that God can't, that people of God can't. I am the one who's going to give you truly what you need. And am I going to come up to you with, you know, this red suit and the horns? No, I'm going to make it look as though this is something that is good for you. I'm not going to say, hey, I'm here to ruin your life. I'm going to say, hey, I'm here to make your life better. Okay? No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Notice that it's a false path. And if you think about all of the descriptions of God, all the descriptions of Jesus, there are many. But one of the things you notice, one of the commonalities that are present in a lot of them, are that we are following God. We are following Jesus. He is the good shepherd. He's the one who is leading us, who's protecting us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is Satan's job? You see all those sheep following that shepherd? I'm just going to try to get them off the path. I'm going to try to get them over here, over there. I've been struck by us going through the book of Acts. Christianity is often called in the book of Acts the way. The way. They persecuted the way, that is Christianity. What the devil does is tries to get you to take, well, one, to never get on the way, or tries to get you to take an off-ramp of the way. Okay? So he's trying, he doesn't care what false doctrine, he doesn't care what falsehood, he doesn't care how he deludes you, he just cares that you're deluded. You know, it's like if I'm trying to make sure you don't get this math question correct, I don't care what your answer is, as long as it's not the right one. The answer is 4. You could say 5, you could say 6, you could say 8, you could say pi. I don't care what you say, as long as you don't say 4. That's the devil's job, okay? So, how does he go about trying to get us to leave the path or never join the path? Well, there are many ways. There are many ways he does that. And we're going to look at only a few of them tonight. Only a few. Obviously, it's a list without count. And we're just going to look at some of the more obvious ones. John chapter 8. Let's turn over there real quick. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you shall truly be disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So notice there's going to be a contrast between the truth and what the truth does, and then what anything else does. And if you do anything to the truth, if you alter the truth in any way, that it becomes a non-truth. Okay, so I just have to take whatever Jesus says. If I'm the devil, I just have to take what he says and I have to alter it just a little bit to get these people off course. Okay, and you know, even if you alter it a little bit, how much does that affect somebody? You know, they talked about you know, it was a couple months ago, they did some wonder of modern science by sending a rocket up to hit an asteroid, and it just, you know, just tapped it a little bit. But if you're a million miles away, that's gonna make a big difference. That's a huge difference. That's going to make the span would be millions and millions of miles. Given the distance, the angle really matters, okay? So if I can just knock you off course just a little bit, all right. The longer you go, not to get in math class here, but the longer you go, the more difference that it's going to make. So we have the truth over here. Now the devil's job, as the deluder that he is to just add a little extra or take away a little, okay? And you will, if you continue in my truth, the truth will make you free. And how does the devil delude us? They answered him, well, we see a prime example of it here. We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Delusion. How am I deluded? I am not enslaved. There's nothing to be freed from. Jesus, the loving Savior, calleth thee now to come into his fold of safety where there's rest and room. Well, there's no danger out here either. I'm not coming into that fold of safety. There's no danger. They say, we are Abraham's descendant and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? We're already free. No, you're deluded. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. You haven't realized that. Why is that? You've been deluded by the devil. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. Your master is Satan. Well, maybe he has my best interest in mind. No, he doesn't have your best interest in mind. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father. Who's that? The devil, Satan. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Another delusion. Well, I said I was the child of Abraham, so that means that it's true. You know, this is something we're facing today. If I say something's true, then that means it's true. And who are you to tell me it's not? I say it's true, then it's true. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I am saved. That means it's true. Are you sure those aren't just empty words? What's he say? Basically, if a tree is known by its fruit. You say you're a child of Abraham. Well, are you acting like Abraham? You say you're a banana tree. Are you producing bananas? No, I'm not producing bananas. Well, guess what? You're not a banana tree then. Don't tell me, show me. Verse 40, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. The other thing we'll see is that truth and lies cannot coexist together. If truth and lies are together, one is going to win. The truth is either going to win or the lie is going to corrupt the truth. They cannot coexist. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. We can't have that. Which I have heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You're not acting like Abraham. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. But I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my words. Why is that? Think about that. It's because they are deluded. They've already said, we're not enslaved to anyone. We're the children of Abraham. Peace, peace. There's nothing going on around us. There's no danger. There's no need to come to Jesus, the loving shepherd. Why? Because there's no wolves about. Well, that's exactly what the wolf wants you to think. But because I speak the truth, you did not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. That's a tough thing to say and a tough thing to hear. The question is, if somebody said to that, would we have the honesty to say, maybe I need to examine that? Am I deluded? Would we say, impossible? That's what they said. Turns out they were wrong. They were wrong. Examine yourself constantly. Well, I did that once. No, constantly. Examine yourself. Do I really believe what is true? Are these things true? Well, you say, what's the importance of that? Well, it's the most important thing. It's the most important thing. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47, he who is of God hears the words of God. What's Jesus say in John chapter 6? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Do you think you're sheep of Jesus but not following him? You're deluded. You're deluded. Well, I don't do anything he says. I do some of the things he says, but I don't do all the things he says. But I'm his sheep. I'm in his fold. We have a closeness. We have a closeness when I need some help, but when I want to have some fun, I make some distance in between us. You're deluded. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are Samaritan and have a demon? What often happens when somebody tries to warn you, when somebody tries to teach you, to exhort you, you say, well, you know, I think you've got your own problems. I don't like the message, so I'm going to attack the messenger. It's either I attack you or I examine myself. Which is easier? Well, I'm going to attack you. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What is the truth? If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. That's the truth. Now, how can the devil delude you in that? Well, the question would become, what is the word of God? Who could really know? Who could really know? And is that really true? I mean, all the prophets died, Abraham died. Is that really true? That must not be true. And you can never really know exactly what he's saying here. So, you know, it's better not to try, not think about it. Peace, peace. Everything's fine. Just keep going on with your lives. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham. Well, the surprising answer to them would be, yes, he is. Who died? The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, and you have not come to know him. Now talk about delusion. Jesus reveals here, you don't even know him. Very similar to what he says in John chapter 5. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but it turns out you don't understand what they are saying. You have deluded yourself, and you are lost. You know what? Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3 real quick. Revelation chapter 3. This reminds me of a verse that always comes to my mind. Revelation chapter 3, let's see, let's start in verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. Because you have there some who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of adultery. So also some of you in the same way hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly and will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. And we see similar things to many of the churches. They don't know what their actual state is. They don't know what their actual state. I'm sorry, I was reading in chapter 2. In chapter 2, it's in verse 8. But in chapter 2, it's in verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and last who was dead and has come to life says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. Think about that for a second. I know that you're in tribulations and you're in poverty, but I see something else. I see that you're rich. And now let's turn over to chapter 3. Sorry about that. Verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth because, look at this, verse 17. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Because you say, what are they saying? I am rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And you do not know. Okay, that's what they think. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I don't need anything. Does that sound familiar? End of John chapter 9, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, because you say that you see, your sin remains. You think you have no need of anything. You think there's peace, peace. But there is no peace. Because you say I am rich. And again, the main point of this lesson is not to say, well, all those other people out in the world, this applies to them. No, this applies to you. This applies to me. Do I ever think I can put it on cruise control? I'm rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. I've got my hand stamped. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Think about that. Here's what you think the picture looks like in your finite mind, with your limited intelligence and your biases. But let me tell you what the true picture is. It's altogether something more humble. I advise you, what's the advice? I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, that you may really become rich, in white garments, unspotted by the world, so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness. Think about somebody who's saying, I am rich, I have need of nothing. There's no shame involved in that. But there should be shame. You've deluded yourself. That the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And I salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You're blind. You are blind. You need some eye salve to heal your eyes so that you may see what God sees. Okay. Let's turn over to, I think, we'll see how long I talk here. Probably our last thing now. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's stop right there for a second. Let's examine this. Most people who say or think that they are strong, when they say that they're strong, of whose strength are they talking? Well, it's my own strength, of course. It's my own unblemished understanding of the scriptures that is without match and cannot be questioned. It's my own adherence to what is taught in the scriptures that is flawless. Finally, be strong in what? In the Lord, and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. One of the other things that the devil does to delude us is say, well, the battle has been won. And in a certain sense, that's true. There's victory in Jesus. We know that He will be victorious. But the question is, will we be found in Jesus? That's the question. Will I be found in Jesus? Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Again, one of the biggest delusions that the devil has propagated throughout the world is what? I mean, think about this verse, and what would you answer? What is the biggest delusion that the devil has spread throughout the world? Put on the full armor of God. Okay, we might even question, is there a God? So that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. First of all, there's no devil. Second of all, there's no schemes. Okay? There's no battle. There's no war. There's nothing going on, anything like that. So I'm not going to be on guard. I'm not going to be striving to enter in. There's nothing to enter into, first of all. But second of all, there's no battle. That's a delusion. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. And he's been successful. It's a successful delusion. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Somebody, you know, somebody who's a naturalist would say that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you get cancer, you go get some stones and rub them together. You believe in all that nonsense. That's just ridiculous. And as soon as you get sick, you throw all that stuff out and you go to a medical doctor. Okay? It's a delusion that there's anything going on that cannot be seen without a microscope, without some instrument of this world. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I can't see any of that. And is that true? Can you see any of that? Can you at any point in time say, hey, I know exactly what's going on here? No, you can't see any of that. You have to take it by faith that all that is going on. And that gives the devil a great opportunity to delude. Therefore, if you believe this, if you have not been deluded by the devil, if you haven't been taken captive by one of his snares, if you can see things for how they are, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, that you may be able to resist, so that you may be able to stand firm. Do I need to do that? Absolutely. Well, everybody else needs to do that, but do I need to do that? Yes, absolutely. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth. What are the tools set? What is the tool set we have to fight the devil and his delusions? Well, one, the key one, would be what? Truth. If the devil just takes the truth and distorts it, twists it, just does some kind of altering to it, the most important thing to know would be what is the truth. And not saying that I know, everybody says they have the truth and they know the truth. But the question is, have I examined to see if that's actually so? With scrutiny. With scrutiny. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, what's the other thing? I want to be righteous. What is that? I'm going to do what is right. Okay, I have the truth, but the truth says some things I don't want to do. The truth tells me not to do some things I do want to do. Well, another important component is doing the right thing, whatever it costs. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel, the good news of peace, that God, there's a day of wrath coming, but Jesus Christ died so that you might have peace with God. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. Let me ask you that. Is faith necessary in this battle? What is faith? Confidence in God. Is there anything that we need confidence to overcome? Absolutely. We're in a battle. And again, one of the delusions of the devil, no, you're not in a battle. Yes, you're in a battle. A battle of life and death. A battle of a struggle over your soul. You say, I don't feel like I'm struggling. Well, maybe that's a problem. It's a struggle. You're striving to enter in. It's a battle to the death. Don't be deluded. Do you need any faith in God so that you might be able to come out the victor? Absolutely. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, I need confidence in God. If God is for me, who can be against me? With which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So he's firing those darts, he's firing those arrows. He's saying, there's no battle. Peace, peace. All of this is a fantasy. Don't worry about it. Just go down this road. Hey, maybe you should convert to Catholicism or something like that. Muslims, Hindus, whatever. Just get off the path. Just get off the path. Darts coming in day after day. What can help you? Well, it's my dazzling intellect. It's my unspotted character. It's the purity of my heart. No, you need some supernatural help. Don't be deluded. And take the helmet of salvation. What is the end of all this? What is the prize? Keeping your eyes upward. What is the prize we're looking forward to? It's not that we're on this way and the way has no ending. No, there is an ending. There is a day that is coming. And we want to be parted on the right and not on the left. We want to be welcomed in. Should that be on your mind? Of course. Take the helmet of salvation. You've been given salvation. Maybe you should keep that in mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do I combat the words of the devil? Well, with the words of God. With the Word of God. What God has told us. What God has revealed to us. What God says is necessary to be saved. Okay, we got about 5 minutes, so let's quickly go over to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. So we can become deluded. We can say, well, there's no battle to be fought. There's no battle to be won. Or there is a battle, but I've already won. There's victory in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. Okay, are you going to stay in Jesus? First of all, are you really in Jesus? Second of all, are you going to stay there? The devil says, those are big questions you ought not worry yourself over. Bible says, examine yourself. Test yourself. The devil said, no, that's not necessary. That's much ado about nothing. What about religious people? Can they delude themselves? You might say, all this is for those pagans. All this is for those atheists. All this is for those agnostics. All this is for those Hindus, those Muslims. All this is for somebody else. Is this for religious people as well? Can religious people delude themselves? Well, we're some of the best at it. Religious people delude themselves all the time. And of course, you think about the different religions. Some are so confident that they're right, they're willing to put their life on the line. The question is, are you really correct? Are you really correct? Believing you're correct does not mean you're correct. Saying I'm correct and saying I'm right and everyone else is wrong does not mean I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Obviously. And, you know, sometimes we even have the idea that, you know, we put ourselves on pedestals, something that the Bible tells us not to do pretty clearly. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. But we're better than these other people, and, you know, and our ways are better than their ways, and our paths are better than their paths. No, it's God's paths that are better than their paths, and God's ways that are better than their ways. And you say, well, if people would just live more like us, you know, the world would be a better place. Well, hopefully. But, you know, you look at the world, and you see how easy it is to become deluded. You can have this very isotopic, myopic view of the world that, you know, the only good society could be one that lived as if I thought it should. And then you look at, you know, some countries over in Asia, and, you know, their crime rate is lower, they're more polite, they're cleaner. And you just say, well, I'm just going to throw that data out. You're deluding yourself. You have to deal with the truth. The question is, why is that? The question is, why is that? What is the truth? Okay, and what is the danger of delusion even for religious people? And in fact, I might even say that is more dangerous to religious people because we have the tendency to say, peace, peace. I'm covered. How did the Pharisees do that in the New Testament? Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 15. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? In outrage. And he said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, notice that, God says one thing, but you say something else. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother, and by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Deluded. Now, if you were to ask them, or you were to ask the people around them, who is the most holy? Who's the most set apart? The Pharisees. But what were the Pharisees actually doing? Invalidating the law of God and putting in its place their own traditions, and giving themselves a pat on the back the whole time. Look how long our prayers are. Look how long our phylacteries are. Look at the things I pray. Listen to them. I thank God I'm not like these other people, even this tax collector. If the world was more like me and less like them, it would be a better place. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, the people honors me with their lips. Now the question is, can I take an honest look at myself and say, am I in danger of that? Does this apply to me at all, or is this just those no good dirty Pharisees? Is this just those no good dirty Catholics? Or does this apply to me? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain. Ooh. What are the consequences of this kind of thing? In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And Jesus called the crowd to him. He said to them, hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? Yeah, you're going to step on some toes. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant, okay, who planted it then? Remember that parable? Who came and planted those tares? That was the devil. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if the blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Now let me end on this. If you are blind and not deluded, blind in one sense, but you thought you saw, if you knew you were blind, would you sign up to be a teacher? Obviously not. And furthermore, if you were in search of a teacher, would you sign up for someone who was blind? Obviously not. So these are people that are completely deluded. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're going there. They think everything's great. They think they have the right path, but they're happily following it to destruction. And again, the biggest point I want us to take from this is I have to examine myself and make sure constantly. Because what happens? You tend to drift. So I have to constantly say, okay, wow, does this apply to me? Or do I have such a high opinion of myself that this is impossible for me? And that's a hard thing to do. It takes honesty. It takes digging in. It takes maybe some uncomfortable admissions. Maybe I'm not as great as I thought I was. But it's something that is necessary. It's something that cultivates humility. It's something that will lead you to a better understanding and better adherence to the truth. Difficult though it may be, and we do need supernatural help, one final thing. The last illusion I want to mention is that prayer is useless. That's what the devil wants you to believe. And how has he convinced the world of that? Well, there are many ways, but has he convinced the world of that? Absolutely. They say, why waste your time? No, you need some prayer. You need some study. You need to meditate. And you need to self-examine in the light of the scriptures and say and ask, okay, let's not assume that I'm always in the right here or that I'm ever in the right. Let's actually see based on the fruit. Well, as I said, it's a hard thing to do, but I encourage each one of us to do it. And the good news is for those who are found in Jesus Christ do have victory. The victory has already been won. The victory is sure. That is something that is 100% guaranteed. Now, the only question is, am I going to be found in Christ when he comes to reward his servants? And that's something that takes effort. That's something that Jesus tells us, strive that you may enter in. And each one of us has to continue until the end, constantly striving, constantly trying to improve, constantly trying to bring our lives into conformity with what God has told us to do in his word, while avoiding the darts of Satan, which are dangerous, which are many. And if you think they're not, you are deluded. There are dangers at every corner. But we have someone that helps us, supernatural help, and with his help, we can overcome. Let's stand and sing the song of invitation.